Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, to throw down on Christmas Eve. It's that time again, the show that's sweeping the country, the Doc Talk podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend, Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, basking in 82-degree weather in Los Angeles. I know half that country says, wow, we don't need to hear that, Mark, but that'll be a story and a topic for another day. 347-205-9631, batting down the hatches. 60 minutes goes by quick. Move over, Dan Rather, because this show is going to take center stage. If you missed this show, well, tell your friends to catch it on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Laying the red carpet down, putting the podium in its place, handing off the threes. Doc, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you surrounded yourself with women on this show today. First of two, Marianne Costello, and then Marilyn Morales.
You're absolutely correct. I'd like to welcome our listeners. I'd like to welcome Marianne Costello again. She is a friend of our show. And to answer your three R's, or three questions, I am doing well. We are experiencing an awful lot of cold weather, frigid weather. It's kind of put a little bit of a damper on the holiday, but we're still functioning here on the East Coast. People can get a hold of me, Mark, G-J-R, M-D, 308, at outlook.com. I have Marianne Costello with us again today. As you know, she is a holistic nurse, and the topic today is an interesting one, managing the holiday. And, you know, I've been receiving, over the last several weeks, I've been receiving emails, plus several patient visits with regard to, again, vertigo, headaches, people coming in talking about a headache in their neck, in their back. They're having palpitations. They don't feel good. And, you know, some of the questions that I've got, could this questionable holiday stress be causing these physical symptoms? And, Marianne, I know you see a lot of people for anxiety. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I think people do experience quite a bit of anxiety in the holiday season area. And, you know, like I'm saying with my practice, I kind of see that. You know, I don't see a lot of depression, and sometimes anxiety can lead to that. You know, where overall the ideal scene is that, you know, this is a time of love and cheer. We have a lot of good feelings that, you know, overall we should be enjoying our family getting togethers and things like that. Some of the statistics that I was able to dig up show that approximately 80% of adults over 18 years old experience holidays being very, very stressful. And they even make some of the comparisons that this is like going to the boss asking for a raise, the stress that they experience. And I'd like to get Marianne's take on this. And Marianne, welcome to the show. We know that Marianne is a holistic health practitioner, a variety of educations, different techniques that she does to help people, a very prominent practitioner. And Marianne, can you help us with this?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on your show again. I really appreciate it. And yes, the holidays can be, thank you, the holidays can be extremely stressful. And there's numerous reasons for that. It could be because of all the hustle and bustle of getting ready for the holidays. It could be a financial burden on some people more than any other time of year. It could be people that have experienced loss during this year or any other year, so the holidays can be a very stressful time. But it also could be one of the most happy times, and it's how you make the holidays. And what I mean by that is that, you know, people sit here and say, okay, the holidays are here. It's about this gift giving, and I have to buy the perfect gift, and I have to make sure everybody's taken care of in a little bit. And I think in retail, it's gotten out of hand as far as what the holiday should be about. You have to put it about family and friends and loved ones first. And don't worry so much about the materialistic things that go along with it. Where I would worry more about, you know, your holiday dinners with your family than I would buying that perfect gift for somebody, because that could stress people out. One, they may not know what to get that special someone. Number two, again, it could be a financial burden on top of everything else.
Yes.
So, and then not even that, what my family has done, and I think it's a great tradition, is during Thanksgiving time, we actually put all the names into a hat, and then we each draw one name for the adults I'm talking here, and draw out the one name, and then we put a limit to say, okay, do we want to buy everybody a gift? And now, you know, with even inflation and all this year, it's so expensive. Would you like to cap it at maybe, you know, $50 for that one person, and you're buying one gift? And I cannot tell you the stress that that relieves at the holidays, because you're like, wow, I only have to really get one thing for that family gathering. And everybody has a good time. Everybody has something to open. You could turn it into a game, like a let's make a deal game, or you could do like a secret Santa and they don't know who it was. And you can do things like that to help relieve all of that. Just taking that off your list of to-do things is magnificent, because it's doable. It's handy. If you know you're hosting, you have to keep in mind, not everything might go perfectly. I know I want my dates to go perfectly. Come on.
Sure.
It's in my DNA. But you know what? It's family. If something doesn't get cooked right, or the ingredient was wrong, so what? Just, you know, deal with it. Make a joke out of it. But, you know, we try to strive for perfection, from the perfect table setting to the perfect foods to the perfect hosting. And you know what? People sometimes on the holidays just like to be in a relaxed atmosphere and just want to be themselves, you know? So take that pressure off yourself.
You know what? I think, you know what? Go ahead.
I just also want to say that if you've experienced loss, people experience that different ways. I mean, I've had people suggest to me, because I just recently lost my dad. This will be my second Christmas without him. And the first year was the roughest, I admit that. But then it's like you could celebrate that person, you know, and just honor them, and because they want you to be happy and going on, you know. You could sit there and think about them, include them in your conversations. But it doesn't have to be a sad time. It's what you make of it. And I know that you'll feel it. I know the grief could still be there, definitely. I don't even think you get over that at times, especially on children, parents, things of that nature. But life still does go on, and that's what's hard to deal with around this time of year. So it's a matter of, you know, the family getting together. It's a matter of living their legacy on. It doesn't always have to be a hardship.
That, I think you've summarized it beautifully. You know, with regard to, you know, the items that are possibly the things that cause stress at this time, you know, I think you've nailed it. And again, one thing is doing too much, trying to do too many things for too many people. Then, you know, we have too much togetherness. That's the other thing, Marianne, you know, spending time with people that may not have you feel good. You know, then you have that loss that someone, you know, isn't there, they have passed. You know, another thing that when my research was being done that we're seeing also is the seasonal change, the fact that, you know, the daylight is diminishing, the weather may be cold, we're indoors. That leads to a little bit of a depression as well. And there's a specific disorder that is seen, you know, this time of year, called a seasonal affective disorder, due to, you know, the weather without the sun. And, you know, a lot of things go on. And I think that you've really nailed, all right, you can't have perfection with all this. And, you know, as far as trying to make the best of it, That's exactly what you want to do. You know, there's a lot of literature out there talking about, you know, making this a much more stressful time. And, you know, you want to make it interesting. You want to make it fun. You know, and I think another big thing, which when we're looking at the causes of this stress, are financial stress. And I like the remedy that you have as far as going ahead and then picking out, you know, a name and then working on it rather than trying to go ahead and cover all the bases. And again, I think that's what you've done with that. And Marianne, do you see people coming to your practice that maybe need a little bit of counseling or a little bit of therapy this time of year more so than other times?
Absolutely, because a lot of times people use the end of the year too as reflection. And some people could have had a joyous year, but the ones who had
yep.
a tough year, whether it be loss or whether they didn't meet their goals or maybe they didn't get their perfect job they wanted or whatever, and just even hearing Christmas carols, people tell me all the time, just hearing Christmas carols can be a little depressing, you know, if they're going through
wow.
something. So, yeah, because I think it triggers the childhood memories that we might hold with those songs, or maybe those people aren't around. So when I do sit there and offer ministerial counseling to them is that to say, you know, you can look at that song as a happy time, that those were the happy memories that you'll always have for your entire life, and let that memory warm your heart at this time, and to try to maybe sing along with it. Sometimes looking at yourself in a mirror while singing can make you smile at the same time. So there's things
wow.
that you can do that, you know, to kind of trick your
sure.
mind, because the holidays definitely can be hard. But you also, if you experience gratitude, and that's one thing I think people miss, is having gratitude at this time of year. Take in the decorations. Take in the family. This could be a time for forgiveness. What if at the beginning of the year, or maybe last holidays, people agreed to disagree on something, and maybe it did some division, you know, of what was going on
sure.
in the family. Maybe take this time as this year to say, you know what, I forgive you. I'm sorry we had the year that we did. Let's start new. And take all that pressure off of you, because positive
wow.
energy is going to have positive results. And you can take this time to turn bad situations into good situations, and then go in peace and love, literally, for the holiday, and rejoice with family instead of looking at it like, you know, sometimes we have that relative that you know is coming, and you're like, oh, God, they're here. You know, when they pull in the driveway, you don't
right.
want to be like that. We all have it. Let's face it. But at the
that's
same
right.
time, you know, you could turn around and say, oh, you know what? This is going to be the year I'm just going to turn around and say, let bygones be bygones. We could agree to disagree, but we're still family. Let's move on from this, and let's go in love, because it's much easier to do that, you know, and this is the time that you
yes.
can do that. And this is also a good time of year for some people to fall in love. It could work that way, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, a very nice way of putting it. I think you're really putting a lot of attention on attitude, what a person's attitude is, you know, this time of year. And again, the words you mentioned were positive attitude. And I think putting that spin on it does take maybe a lot of stress out of a very stressful situation. Now, you know, with regard to, you know, your counseling, will people come to you and say that, you know, I don't get along, you know, with my my brother-in-law, and, you know, he did the X, Y, and Z to my sister. I can't stand him. How would you counsel him?
Depending on the situation, I mean, some could be horrific. Some usually are not so bad. Most of them aren't, but we make them big deals in our head, you know, what's going on. And you find out, I would ask them, what person do that's bothering you so much? And was it directly at you, or is it about somebody else? Or are you playing victim in this? Because you can, because maybe you already have a vendetta against this person as it is, you know?
Sure.
You have to identify, even for your own self, what is making you so upset about this person? Or do they act similar to you that you are looking at a trait of yourself that you might not like, especially when it comes to family. Because they might have something that, you know, that sometimes you have a family member that you really love, but they, as soon as they open their mouth, whether you hear their tone of voice or maybe it's something they said, you kind of roll your eyes silently and you feel yourself biting your tongue because you're not going to say anything. It's the holidays. But you have to ask yourself,
right.
I even asked you, why did that bother me so much? What is it that this person's doing? Because maybe it's something I'm doing and they don't like about me. They could be mirroring me. Or it could be, why am I letting this bother me so bad? You have to identify why. Because if you don't, you'll never understand what is making you feel this way about that person. You'll never understand it.
Wow. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with our patients confronting the situation, being willing to look at it, look at the feelings, looking at the behavior, and then trying to solve the problem. I think confront's a big thing. A lot of people don't want to confront certain problems. Maybe it hurts. Maybe it was traumatized. But indeed, I think confronting the problem may help solve it, especially with someone like you that's in a counts position. You find that to be true at all, Marianne?
I do. And then also, sometimes when somebody's coming to you with a problem, and you've probably found this for yourself, you realize, wow, I'm experiencing the same feelings in my own life about something, which I think is ironic because if you're going to help somebody else, they might be there in turn to help you. And I'll give you, for instance, we're all human. I'm human. I go through emotional things at the holidays, especially because I'm experiencing a lot of loss, you know, around me over the last couple of years. And it's like I had a very, very dear person in my life who I love so much say to me yesterday, because I was really having a moment, turn around and say, you know, it's Christmas. You know, you should try to find some happiness in this. You should be able to, you know, get some decorations up or to get out of this or just be happy. It's Christmas. And I was not in the place to hear that yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I was not in that place because the emotions were so strong. But today, it's like you sleep on it. And then I had to go out and do my Secret Santa, you know, because, of course, I waited till the last minute. And and I got home and I settled down and I was like, okay, I got my, you know, one thing I had to worry about here and I'm doing that. And I felt like, okay, I checked that off my list. That stress is gone. I thought about what he had said to me yesterday really hard. And then, did I have a couple of tears? Sure. But today, am I better for it? I'm on your show, and I'm able to give advice thanks to him telling me, you know what, stop getting, basically, he didn't say it like this, but he's like, stop getting your panties in a bunch and put a smile on that face, and you're going to feel a lot better. He was absolutely right. And I love him for it because I needed to hear that yesterday, even though I didn't want to.
Well, I mean, I think we're glad for that interaction. Do you find there's maybe a difference in how people respond based on their background or their religion or their education or their culture, you know, or do you think it's pretty consistent? People that, you know, overall enjoy the holidays, they want to make amends, and, you know, indeed want people to be happy. You know, do you think there's any cultural predisposition to all that?
Well, I believe that there can be, but with any culture, I still think human nature is everybody wants to be in peace, love, and harmony, you know? And I think that no matter what religion you are, I mean, some religions, you know, maybe can make people feel guilty about things. Maybe some things can make people feel happy about things. But having faith, hope, love, those are key things, and especially around the holidays. Because, like I said, when things could go awry, you can find inner peace within yourself. And you might have to dig deep for that or reach out to somebody. There's nothing wrong to say, hey, I need help. Can you help me? Because everybody's always afraid, oh, well, maybe I'm upsetting this person at this time of year, or maybe they're so busy. But you know what? That might be the person you need to speak with. And if they hear you, even if they give you 5 minutes, you could just say, listen, I need help. Can you help me? The worst they could say is no, or to say, I can't help you right now, but give me like 10 minutes or give me an hour. Yes, I'll help you. Most people will tell you yes.
Wow, wonderful. Let's go to Mark Mancini in L.A. Mark, do you have questions for us?
I got a lot of them. Let's start with Ralph in Pittsburgh saying, I don't stress out. I give Christmas cards. And he said, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you. We've got
Carl from New Rochelle, New York. I get in my fight with my wife about 23 hours of the day. The only hour I don't get in a fight with her is at 11:30 at night.
What?
And yeah, I can imagine what that hour looks like for from 11:30 to 12:30. Gail from Clearwater, Florida. Hi, Doc. Great show. I can't wait to hear this thing go into the new year. You've been an inspiration. Nice to hear Marilyn again and Marianne. And Marilyn's coming on shortly here. And I try not to stress out. I think, you know, vendettas need to be buried. People need to come to a happy medium. The problem is it's always one giving in to the other, and it seems like it's always the good one giving in to the bad guy. But that's a story that should be addressed. And,
yeah,
that's an interesting one. I've got Janine from Vail, Colorado, saying, I don't need to know the weather in California. I'm freezing my buns out here in Vail. Let me throw one more, and I'll give it back to you, Gary from Spokane, Washington. The government asking me about getting the first two COVID shots. What happened to the next three? Has Pfizer made a lot of money?
Wow. That's a big question.
Yeah.
Nobody has the answer on that.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. And that's it for now. I'll start piling up some more, and I'll let you know when Maryland gets through.
Thank you. Marianne, if I can continue, you know, some of the remedies, so to speak, for handling stress and trying to maintain one's mental health, you know, they talk about setting a schedule. You know, don't bring on too much through this time. And, you know, again, adjust your attitude properly. Try to go ahead and maintain your own body roots. You know, make sure you're sleeping, you're taking care of yourself, you know, you're eating. Do you find those things to be true as well?
I do, and I think you could do stuff. In other words, you're so busy at this time of year. The schedule is really, really
demanding.
Critical at this time of year, yes. And it's critical to have one, but in that schedule, you have to make sure you make time for yourself, whether it's when you get up early in the morning and maybe nobody's up yet and you, I don't know, take a shower, do a workout, whatever your ritual is, and make sure that you do nourish your body with right foods and things like that, not just living on that coffee and then just saying, oh, I have to get through this. I'm going to plug through. I'm going to keep drinking that coffee all day. Coffee is dehydrating. It will make you actually tired in the end. It actually drains your adrenal glands and all. So make sure you're hydrated. Drink the water all day or drink some herbal teas, like not just the coffee. Have hot water with lemon in the morning. Works wonders for the body and the immune system. And have that. And make sure that you're nourishing your body. And if you can't do it with food, make sure you're taking a couple of supplements. But remember, if you take vitamins, you must take them with food for them to work properly. So it's always good to start your day with a ritual that is making yourself a priority for your health, because you keep up your immune system. So then this way, when you are with your loved ones and you're hugging or, you know, you're kissing or whatever, shaking hands, always remember, washing hands is a simple exercise. You might have to do that even around family, because they don't know if they've been in a store and they shook some stranger's hand, happy holidays. You don't know what happened. So you can protect yourself. You don't have to go crazy, but be cognizant of it. And, you know, this way, if you're in a good space, nutritionally sound, the correct sleep that you want, and exercise, and that also helps your mood at this time of year as well. It's a big one.
Super. I mean, excellent, excellent advice. You know, we want to keep this season, you know, feelings of love, cheer, and family. And, you know, with regard to if you're in a situation, you know, it's kind of a stressful situation. Some of the things that I've seen
they talk about medication, or meditation, going for a walk, do some deep breathing, you know, maybe have a photograph of a loved one or a pet to keep your feelings positive, especially if you have a relative that's been giving you a hard time. I think some examples that I've seen is, you know, if you're seeing your mom for the first time in a while and she's quizzing you on, you know, your social situation, you know, how's the boyfriend? Do you have a boyfriend? Have you found a new boyfriend? Which can be very, very upsetting overall, especially in a family gathering. And do you find that to be true, Marianne, to try to do some things to keep your attitude positive and not to get hostile with maybe your mom, your dad, people, again, trying to invalidate a little bit that don't even realize what they're doing?
Right, because that loved one might just care about you and just want to know what you're doing, you know, because they do care. But if you are in a place where maybe you don't get along with one of your parents or both of them,
yeah,
there's been situations like that, and you're going there as that person, as that child, and I hate to put it this way, but I've heard my clients put it this way, as to, I have to go and suck it up. It's the holidays. Well,
sure.
the point of you might have to, but you can go there with an attitude to say, okay, just what you said, you might already know the typical questions. Have an answer. Maybe it's not, okay, the most truthful of answers, but just know that you have an answer. If you want to engage and indulge, if there's differences, people have to realize you can agree to disagree. But a lot of people can't comprehend that right now. And I think that's what our producer Mark was getting at, where you have a relative that, you know, will not give in. You always have to be the good one to give in. Well, sometimes
yes,
that might be that way to make the peace of the family, because in your mind you might know you're right, but they have an opinion, and it might not be your opinion, but opinion should not divide families. And unfortunately, just what people bring up, like that caller, you know, with the number of COVID shots and things like that, I've seen that particular topic divide people like you wouldn't believe,
oh, yes,
even close family members. And it's something to say, this was your health. This was right for you. You made your decision. This is what I know.
Ooh.
You might say, maybe educate yourself before you do something. But just because somebody did something for themselves does not mean that your expectation is in the family, every single person has to do this, because maybe they have a health situation or an allergy to something that they can't do it. So stop putting pressure on people for things like that. Or if mom doesn't approve of your current boyfriend, well, maybe,
yep,
you might want to look in the mirror. Maybe there's a good reason, because you know, there's nothing worse as a child hearing like, I told you so.
Sure, absolutely.
We've all been
absolutely
there. But you have to deal with it as going in basically with that positive attitude. And if you've had the right sleep, maybe, and another big one here is watch the alcohol intake, because sometimes we drink a little too much. And sometimes that's where we get the loose lips. And that's where you can hurt people and not realize you did it. Because you might have been,
sure,
joking, but maybe it didn't come across as a joke because you had a little too much to drink. That eggnog was too good.
Well, I think it's all very good information. You know, what I've seen also here with regard to maintaining our mental health at this time is, you know, they talk about if you're in a very stressful situation, Marianne, they talk about, you know, kind of making your own list of distractions that, you know, overall, if mom is there quizzing you or someone's quizzing you about your social situation, et cetera, you know, have a list of distractions to change the subject. Are you aware of that at all?
Yeah. It's a pivoting a conversation really quickly. We call it pivot your thought. So did you ever have somebody ask you a question and you answer the question with a question? It could be... It's a really good tactic, but it can,
yeah,
be really annoying, so don't use it all the time. But if you have that awkward conversation, sometimes what do people like to talk about? A lot of times, most of the time, they like to talk about themselves. So ask them a question about, you know, give them a quick answer. Don't dwell on the answer if it's not a topic you want to stay on. And ask them something about themselves or something about the situation or something you see on the table, or talk about a gift or an animal. You might have a brand new pet in the home or, you know, something like that. Talk about anything. But one thing you could do, too, and you always check with your doctor first, but there's herbs and things that can help, like valerian root that can help for calming. There's kava kava that you can take. And, again, check with your doctor because there are some contraindications with certain medications and things. But there are things you could do. Or aromatherapy. How about during the holidays?
Sure.
You be the hero and put a diffuser in the room and put one drop of lavender in that diffuser all day. That'll calm some nerves, and nobody even has to smell it real heavy. You know, just one drop. That's all you need, and it's a calming. It's relaxed. How about the smell of, like, baking? Some people love, like, the smell of baking, whether it's vanilla or chocolate.
Sure.
Sometimes they sell those type of candles. Maybe light one of those candles, or better yet, you can actually put something on the stove a little bit to warm the house with those type of aromas. So when people walk in, it's comfort food. You know that comfort smell? That's also very common.
Wonderful. So those are some remedies. And, you know, Marianne, if things were to get, say they couldn't handle the situation and they were feeling that, you know what, this is driving me crazy. I need some help. How do they get a hold of you? Can they call you and say, hey, you know, this holiday is driving me crazy. I'm getting depressed. My blood pressure is up. Can I come to you for some help? What would you say?
I would say absolutely. And you could call my office. The office number is 732-713-0123. Or you can find me on social media at Marianne Castello. You could find me there. On all social medias. You could also send right on my website. There's a contact us at, and that website is www.neozoe, that's neozoe.com, and you could reach me there as well.
Beautiful. You know, if someone were come to you for help, would you go ahead, of course, you know, I know you know the pillars that we've talked about, you know, listening, and then examination, diagnostics, decision-making. But, you know, when you go into your office, your environment, do you have aromatherapy going on? You know, do you have light music playing? You know, when they come in, what is the setting? What can one expect?
Well, first of all, when you come in, it will be a quieter lighting. It's not those fluorescent lights, first of all. Don't like them.
I don't blame you.
And if it's not music, some people like music, but some people like quiet. So there might be like a white noise machine just to kind of put something in the background real gentle. But most of all, having human connection, being able to sit there and talk to people and know that you're really attentively listening to somebody. Active listening is key. Being quiet to hear and then to really listen on their level to try to help them figure out why is this upsetting me so bad and what steps can I take to help myself? Because you're a doctor. How many times can you help other people? But when it comes to yourself, you kind of fall short for yourself because you have the answers for everybody else. But when it happens to you, you're like, oh, I should have thought of that after the fact. It happened. So everybody of every, you know, I don't know, doctors, nurses, myself, other holistic colleagues, and all, we all reach out for help because we all need it.
No, you're absolutely right. We're all human. We all experience these things, and indeed, they do affect our life. And the things that we're talking about also affect us as practitioners. So we need to know where to go for help as well. And, you know, Marianne, when they come in, how long do you spend with them? Is it like a 15, 20-minute situation? Yep, I want you to go home, do aromatherapy, go ahead, come back with some reflexology. Kind of what's the strategy that goes on here?
Well, sometimes I could start even a conversation over the phone to see what we're, you know, what is going on. Because when they come in the office, I like to do something with them, you know, whether it be, it could be Reiki services, you know, for energy work. It could be maybe there's a part on their body, just like you said, with reflexology, or maybe some medical massage can help relieve something. And also being there for them. Because once you're in that situation where you're on hands-on, that's very emotional for people, and that's where you see the breakthrough. And you figure out what's comfortable for the person.
Oh, I agree. I mean, again, you're getting to know what their problem is and what they're needing, and that's what we do. We diagnose. And, you know, as far as once they're with you and they're a client, patient, do you say that, you know what, I want you back to see me in a week, or do they say, hey, I'll call you and I need you? What is the follow-up for this cycle of therapy?
Well, sometimes I would make a recommendation, depending, and everybody is unique, so it's not like, oh, I'll see you in a couple of days,
sure,
or I'll see you in a week. Everybody is different how they handle it. In other words, they might leave the office feeling really good and said, I'll call you. But then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, they call me and they're like, I'm stuck. I really need to come in. Okay, I'm here for you. Because knowing that you could work as a team, whether it be seeing somebody on a weekly basis or even seeing somebody, they might say, hey, I need like my monthly maintenance from you. Have my monthly talk. It might be every 3-4 weeks. Everybody is different. So to give a time frame for each person as they walk in, I don't have a general one. It's assessing the person, the situation, or if they really are in dire need, maybe something drastic happened in their lives that they really need that immediate care, yes, then I will be there for them. That's what I do. And it's, everybody is different. So you know that.
I know that. Even though we have standardization, there is customization for what we do as well.
Right.
And Marilyn, are you on? Is Marilyn here?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
Marilyn, hello. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Doing well. Doing well.
Good. Thank you. You know, I'd like to introduce Marilyn Morales. Again, she is a friend of our show. She is a holistic nurse with quite a few credentials, dealing with very similar things that our Marianne Costello is dealing with. And, you know, Marilyn, are you finding this to be a stressful time of year for your patients as well?
Always, especially with COVID, the flu, RSV, everything that's going on out there. It's really trying people's patience, just to
and
say the least.
So it's adding to the stress of the holiday season.
Absolutely. You know, people are worried about getting sick. You know, they see these big get-togethers as potential super spreaders, so everybody's anxious, you know, not wanting to make their grandmother, grandfather, immunocompromised family member sick. So being very cautious. You know, the holidays are very different these days than they used to be.
And I agree. And Marianne, are you finding that to be true too? Are people saying, hey, should I wear a mask at the get-together? You know, should I not go? Are we seeing those kind of situations being questioned now where years ago we did not?
Yes, it is. And I tell people, you do with what you're comfortable with, you know. But keep in mind, there are proactive approaches beside wearing that mask, as I had said, with hand washing, or maybe have a hand sanitizer at your table if you don't want to get up every 5 minutes to wash your hands, you know.
Sure.
Or have maybe a little station in your home. Like if you're guesting, you know, if you're hosting it and your guests are there, maybe have a little table that has maybe a box of tissues on it. Maybe it has the hand sanitizers, you know, different things to make people feel comfortable. Maybe you want to put like a couple of masks there if people choose to come in and want to wear one. They're not obligated to unless that's your rule. But, you know, you can make people feel comfortable. You can.
Sure. And Marilyn, what about handshaking or hugging or kissing this time of year? What have you found, or what do you recommend?
Now listen, same as Marianne, it's having those key components readily available for the people that are visiting you. You know, you could also be proactive. You know, if you're having a gathering like that and you know somebody is compromised, you can also say, please test before you get here. The tests are readily available. I know the government has provided a lot of free testing to people to their homes, so you can do that as well. But, yeah, it's the same. And I wanted to say hi to Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Good.
Well,
love everything you were saying.
Me too.
Yes. You know, I'd like to let our listeners know that we have two really experts on the line, and I did want to share the show with both of them because they have been excellent guests in the past. And, indeed, I thought they handled the stress of the season very well, you know, with their clients and what they see and do. And let me go to Mark Mancini, Mark, in L.A. What do you have?
Frank from Germantown, Pennsylvania, chiming in. He said, getting back to the burying the hatchet mentality, sometimes it's hard. These things linger on for decades, and it's passed on from one generation to the next. They learn it from their parents or whatever, and they carry it on, and it just seems to, you know, be brought up on occasions. It's sad that we can't just love each other at this time of the year and continue that love even after Christmas. Wow, that's a good question.
Wow. Marilyn, how would you handle that?
Listen, I think that how easy is it for us to love someone that we don't know versus the people that we do know and continue to harbor ill feelings towards? You know, when we look at that perspective,
yes.
And we're real quick to go ahead and get together and join the soup kitchen or give out gifts to those that are less fortunate than us. And it feels real easy to love them. We have to remember that and love the people that have hurt us or that we've hurt in the past as well. Keep that perspective and say, hey, for today, let me just let this go. Let me just let it go.
Sure. And,
you know.
What's the perspective, you know, what's the attitude then that, you know, you hurt me, you hurt my husband, my wife, my mother, my dad, but I can let it go at this point and forgive you. Do you have to go ahead and have those kind of feelings just for the season, or does that continue after the holiday, Marilyn?
No, it should continue after the holiday. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the person. We cannot control what other people do, say, or act. The only thing that we have control over is ourselves and how we choose to respond to those people and, you know, what how we feel and what we do. It's our choice. So keep your power by making those choices for you.
Wow.
Not for the other person.
That is very powerful statement, very powerful. And it's actually controlling our attitude, our reaction, our feelings, not have somebody else do that. So that's super.
Absolutely.
Mark, go ahead.
Albert from Conway says, Doctor, I really enjoy your show each and every week. I learn so much, but how do I get a job like you with two women on at this hour of the morning? It's 8-something here in San Diego.
Can we have Marianne, could you take that question, please? And I'll ask Marilyn.
Dr. Roscoe knows how to have his way with his guests. That's why he figures it out. It's like truth comes.
Well, you know, I thank him for being so observant, but we've been very fortunate having excellent guests that are willing to give our show time, and especially on a Saturday. And I do thank Marianne as well as Marilyn for the kind gestures they have shown me in my show. So I do thank them both very, very much, especially on Christmas Eve, willing to spend Saturday morning. So out of my gratitude of my heart, I thank them. But again, they're just very, very good people. Go ahead, Mark.
Throw one more, and I'll give it back to you. Don from Sparks, Nevada says, you know, this is the time where cough and cold remedies are supposed to be at their highest. I know they're flying off the shelves now. Inflation prices and everything. Is there a cough syrup or a cough decongestant that you guys recommend? Robitussin, I hear, is good. Is there anything else out there maybe for that you guys can pass along?
Marianne, what would you recommend? Something, you know, very good for a patient holistically or supplementally. What would you think?
Well, if you're having that chronic cough, you can kind of make your own cough medicine. And if they're flying off the shelf, you could get yourself some honey. You could get yourself some ginger. And there is an herb. It's called horehound, and it's H-O-R-E-H-O-U-N-D, usually sold. You could even put that in a, like a, you know how you boil hot water, like a teapot,
sure.
And you have that little silver ball in there,
yep.
And you could sit there and steep that in there, and then add some honey, and some ginger into that water and some apple cider vinegar. And you could sit there and gargle with that, as well as maybe take a teaspoon of that with that honey and all, because the honey will soothe. It will help work, you know, in soothing the throat to soothe the cough. And the ginger is also working as your antibiotic. And if you can't find horehound, that's fine. The apple cider vinegar will work as well. And you want to get the apple cider vinegar that says with the mother on the bottle, because with the mother is, means it looks like that spider web stuff that looks like it's on the bottom of the glass bottle, because that's where all of the apple pectin and impurities are. So you want to buy it. Bragg's usually puts it out, that brand, and it has apple cider vinegar with the mother. As long as it's with the mother on the bottle, you know that there's nourishment in that bottle.
Wonderful. Marilyn, do you have any secrets for us also?
I was going to say the same thing as Marianne. It's honey. Honey is the best remedy for a cough. And one thing that I did use besides that is we have to increase fluids, right? So we have to make sure that we're drinking and drinking when we're sick.
Yes.
So there was a tea that I used when I actually experienced COVID that helped me get better. And it was the raw ginger, the ginger root itself in pieces, boiling that with slices of lemon with the rind on it, adding some cinnamon sticks to that, boiling that to a boil until it turns a little bit brown, then putting that in a cup and adding honey to that, and that helped me immensely.
And
so it's got all the same components that Marianne was talking about.
Yeah, and is this something one would continue for 2 or 3 days till the cough goes away?
Until you're feeling better.
Until you're feeling better.
And,
super. Now,
yeah, and it's preventive,
you know,
too. It's something that you can drink all the time. It's preventive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, now, again, medically, if someone comes to me with a cough, my approach is a little bit different. You know, again, I know your remedies probably work beautifully, but typically if someone comes in with a cough, I look at things a little bit differently. You know, are they having any gastric reflux? Are they having any early airway asthma problems? You know, are they having any post-nasal drip? You know, I look at it just a little differently, and again, trying to be diagnostic. Again, could there be something more serious there? But I think your approach, both you ladies, your approach may be the better way to start, and then indeed, if they don't get better, then maybe I can be diagnostic, do a couple of tests, and maybe help figure things out. But no, very good. Mark, go ahead.
Let me get Steve from Corvallis, Oregon. He heard the show a couple weeks ago when you talked to Raj Malik about prostate. He was wondering how come men have to run to the restroom more so than women at night. He notices his wife doesn't have to go up. He has to hit the restroom 3-4 times a night, where his wife doesn't have to do that. Is that it's just women are built better than women, or men better,
men,
vice versa?
Ladies, may I handle that one? You
yes,
know,
please.
Anatomically, sure. You know, we all have a bladder. Our bladder sits in the lower part of our pelvis. Women have a uterus that sits somewhat posterior to that and above that, that does not press on the bladder until maybe they've had several children and the dynamics change. But with men, we have a prostate, and the prostate gland sits below the bladder along the urinary flow. And as we all get older, in our men, the prostate gets enlarged, and the prostate actually indents the bladder so that the volume of urine the bladder can hold is less and less. So the older one gets, the less volume of the bladder, therefore increasing frequency of urination. That's what happens. And, you know, it's something that it's not that women or men are built better or worse. It's anatomically. So then, you know, with regard to a man, you have to be careful, you know, liquid intake. Certain times a day, trying to avoid doing a lot of liquid, whether it's beer, whether it's water, you know, after 6 or 7 o'clock at night. But indeed, has nothing to do with anything good or bad. It's just the anatomy that we as men have. And I hope that answers his question. Now, he's asked us twice. So hopefully we've answered it for him overall, Mark.
Yes, Karen coming in from Methuen, Massachusetts says breast cancer is big in women. How often do we need to get checked out? Because she's had a couple friends have it, and they've more or less lost a breast or a couple breasts. Wow, that's a tough subject.
Ladies, you want to pick that up? You know, I'll be honest, I'm not a breast expert, and I don't really deal with that, so I don't want to give any misinformation. But I know, Marilyn and Marianne, there's a certain frequency after a certain age that mammograms need to be done as well as examinations. Can you help me with that?
I can take part of that.
Thank you.
It is very individualized. So a younger woman with a history in her family of breast cancer may have to go more frequently. Or if something is found in her during a regular examination with her GYN, may need it sooner than an older woman. Very individual. Breast cancer does not discriminate. It doesn't just happen to those over a certain age. So importantly is that women are doing a self-exam all the time and making sure that they're looking for anything that seems abnormal for them, that you're checking yourself for lumps, that you're checking yourself with your GYN every year, and they will help guide how often you should be getting checked. You know, I started in my 40s because I have a familial history with breast cancer. I have aunts who all had, on my maternal side, who had breast cancer. So I get checked more frequently, and I started sooner. So it's very individualized. It's a very good conversation to have with your doctor.
And, I mean, I agree. If I can add on to that, you know, when one goes to their provider, those are the kind of discussions they need to have with the provider about their maintenance of their health care. Rather than trying to guess, they need to be right. They need to be well-examined and well-informed. Mary Ann, do you have any comment?
Yes, Marilyn answered that beautifully, and so did you. But also, one thing that I have found, because I've worked pretty extensively with this early on, is that, you know, if you get that diagnosis, it doesn't have to mean that something crazy is going to go on, because the first thing people do is they fret, and that could just make the situation worse. But there's things you could also do that people don't realize, that within your armpit, there are lymph nodes there that always have to have toxins coming out. And one thing women tend to do, even more so than men, is always having deodorant on. Well, deodorant, if you have antiperspirant that actually has aluminum and those types of products in there, that can stop perspiration, and those lymph nodes actually can swell, and that's where also some of the symptomology comes in. So you always want to make sure that you're looking at what products you're also putting on your skin as well, let alone family history and all, but how you could do your own little preventative things the best that you can, as well as working with your doctor.
Beautiful. Mark, I think we've answered that pretty well, you know, in a generalized fashion for that listener.
Let me take one more, and I'll give it to you in about 7 minutes. Ben coming in from Alpharetta, Georgia, he says, all of you guys kind of work with different patients and people. How tough is it to come home, whether you're coming home to your significant other or kids or anything, not to spread any of these diseases or anything while you're working with these patients? You guys must see this much more than the average person, you know, that works at home and stuff. Wow, that's another great question.
Yeah, Mary Ann, and then we'll go to Marilyn. Do you want to kind of talk about that? You know, same with me. I see infection. I see disease. I see people with a variety of things. And, you know, some of the simple things overall, you know, washing my hands before I come home. I also change my clothes once I leave the OR or the office to have a clean clothing when I come home to my wife and my children and my family. You know, indeed, you do get exposed. We do build immunity. But, indeed, it's the simple things, I think, that count. And I think Mary Ann had mentioned about hand washing. I think Marilyn did as well, that hand washing is so important, you know, in dealing with our loved ones and our family. So we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to realize that we can spread different diseases. I'm fortunate. My wife's a nurse.
she's in the office with me. So in a sense, she does get exposed to many of the things that I do, so that we don't tend to pass things back and forth. Mary Ann, do you want to pick that up a little bit as well?
Yes, I do some of the same practices that you do as well. The first thing foremost is washing the hands. Before I even leave my office, you know, sanitation in that office is key. Making sure that I have clean clothes there as well in case something like that should happen. And as soon as I walk in my home too, I even take those clean clothes off to a point to get into my comfort clothes, if you will.
Sure.
This way I know that if there was anything, you know, I'm doing what I can. And in some cases, depending what I've been exposed to, might even come home and take that shower right away too, just for my own health and to make sure, you know, things are off of my body so I'm not bringing it not only to myself but to everybody else in my home.
I agree. Marilyn, are you pretty similar with that also?
Yes, same thing, same thing. Changing of clothing, you know, the hand washing. I think we all have a skill set because we do deal with those kind of patients so that we know how to protect ourselves from getting it from our patients as we're dealing with them. But even after we leave them, we're doing the hand washing, the hand sanitizer, you know, cleaning the car, right?
Sure.
I used to sanitize Lysol the car as well so that if my family's getting in my car, there's nothing left over there. And during COVID, I was dealing with COVID patients. I had a separate entrance. I was fortunate to have a separate entrance in my home through the back. So I would come that way, change my clothes, throw my clothes right into the washer dryer, get a shower before I would see my family. So I had a whole system, you know, in place. It's called planning. You just have to plan.
Stay pretty safe.
They all stay safe, thank God. Knock on wood. None of us contracted COVID during that high time when no vaccines were available. And everybody was, you know, doing everything they could. I never caught it. I never brought it home to my family. And it was because I planned ahead. Planning, whenever you're planning, just like you're planning for the holidays and you're planning for anything, as long as you've got planning ahead of time and you execute that plan, you know, you can stay safe.
Beautiful. And Mary Ann, the findings pretty consistent overall, if I can, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, that did one more question. We'll wrap up this show with, you know, the final say. But Michael from Spokane, Washington says, I need to get those cans that you guys spray your establishments with because my in-laws come over here and I just don't have enough cans. Is that considered Lysol?
it can be, you know, as far as we do have certain sprays that we use, you know, in our office, our rooms are cleansed and sprayed per patient, all right, where the chairs are wiped down, the units are wiped down, of course, the equipment is sterilized, you know, et cetera. But we do use a Lysol product. I'm not sure exactly if he's referring to that kind of, you know, intimacy with his relatives.
Yeah.
Right? So that overall, again, situations are different. But, again, cleanliness is so important. And if someone's ill, like I mean, Marilyn had mentioned, we need to maybe distance a little bit, be a little preventative, and to maintain everybody's health. Marilyn, do you want to pick that up?
Absolutely. It's exactly what you said. It's planning ahead. We use antivirals, antibacterials, you know, and in our establishments, in our where we work,
yeah,
you know, there's all different kinds of products that are available to us that are not available to the public, but very
correct,
similar to the Lysol sprays. And, yeah, you don't want to go too big with that either, you know?
I agree.
Basic stuff, you guys will be fine. And the number one thing, and we've said it a couple of times here already, is the hand washing, because that is the number one way that we spread infection.
Exactly. As we wrap this up, I'll go to you first, Dr. Greg Roscoe. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you at your great establishment there in Pittsburgh, the fine staff, your wife that helps you out and everything. And I want to wish you Merry Christmas, and then we'll get over to Mary Ann and Marilyn.
Thank you very much. Thank our listeners. Happy holidays to them all. Thank them for our support that we're getting, as well as all the emails.
It is GJRMD308@outlook.com. And again, I would love to thank Marianne and Marilyn for doing an excellent job again this time. It was just fantastic. And again, thank you for your time and devotion to this radio program. So go ahead, Mark.
And Marianne, as I give it over to you, how can everybody get a hold of you? I know you're across some of the areas in Philly, and you do your barrel, TV show and everything like that. And that's with the clothes on, guys, so don't get no impressions that the clothes come off on that barrel show. But
we hope not.
Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. And I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. That's right. It's Bear All with Marianne Costello, not Marianne Costello Bears All. That is correct. And you can find me at my website, www.neozoe, that's NEOSCOE.com, or by calling directly to the office at 732-713-0123, or you could find me on social media, all social media under Marianne Costello, or all the various shows from Barrel to Liberty Spell Smack, all of them. You could find them there.
Thank
and Marilyn,
you.
As we give it over to you, your book's about ready to come out. I want to just wish you prayers and thoughts and everything. I know through the difficult times of the holidays and everything, I just want to wish you the best. You are a saint, and I love you so much. And how can people get a hold of you? And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. And I don't think my family would agree with you that I'm a saint. They'd have a different the book comes out January 7th. I'm very excited about that. It's 2 weeks away. And if anybody wants to know more about me, they can go to my website, which is izzyslegacy.com, I-Z-Z-Y-S, the word legacy.com. It tells you about me, the book, and my mission. I'm on Facebook as Marilyn Morales. I also have a YouTube channel now. I have my own podcast, which is Unscripted with Marilyn Morales, on Anchor, on Spotify. So I welcome anybody to join all those different avenues. And Merry Christmas to everyone.
Well, yeah.
Be the Match Registry also, Marilyn?
So Be the Match Registry. If you go right onto my website, it'll give you all that information that you need to know. The mission behind everything that I do is to increase awareness of the need for potential donors, for people to donate bone marrow to those in need of stem cell transplants. So those people with blood cancers or blood disorders, that their own immune systems are not working, sometimes they need a transplant from someone. It is someone that something that we can donate in life. We don't have to pass away to donate this organ. It's a simple swab of the cheek to put you onto the registry to potentially match you with someone. And we need people of Hispanic, Black, and mixed ethnicity backgrounds to join. We don't have enough representation on there, and that's the mission behind everything that I do. So if you go right on izzyslegacy.com, there's a whole section dedicated just to that, and you can go ahead and join the registry right from that website and have a kit sent right to your home.
Thank you. Mark, thank you very, very much.
Well, for all of you guys, I wish you the best. Stay warm. If you need some blankets out there, I can send them Federal Express for all three of you. You know I love you dearly, but I'll think of you while I'm jumping in the pool tomorrow when it's 82.
Oh, my Lord.
Other than that, have a blessed one, guys. We're back next week, same time, same channel. I'm sure Dr. Greg Roscoe will bring the girls back. Till then, have a blessed one. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you all. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.